Damn.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, ow, that blew my ears out. We have Missy, and we have Jimmy, and we have Scotty. Take it away, boys.
Howdy.
And girls.
Happy VD, everybody.
Right.
Happy
on
Valentine's there. Day.
Oh, okay. I got to ask you guys a question. I got a question last night, and it's General Motors. So he worked at Athens Steering Gear. That is, well, it's called Saginaw Steering Gear down there. And he needed a week, or they told him to go. That closed down. They told him to go to Saturn for a couple of days, and he could retire. He had his time in. Now, his question is, if he dies, when he dies, and his wife, does she get to keep the Blue Cross? Is she still covered?
Ooh.
I would say yes.
It depends on who signs off on it. There is a thing where he has to put her on, what is it called? Got surviving spouse, I believe.
Surviving spouse, right.
I pay every month for her to get at least half my pension, whatever it is.
65%.
Okay.
I checked into that, and I think it's about $200 a month is what you give up.
Yeah.
Somewhere to do that.
Area. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
surviving spouse benefits.
That
gives you the part of the pension, and I think that keeps you in. I think, good question. I think that keeps you enrolled in the VEBA.
Yes, it does.
But if you want Blue Cross Blue Shield, or like HAP or an HMO, like Blue Cross Blue Care Network,
Scotty, don't muddle up the answer. Will the survivor get to keep the health benefits?
But not. But no. Yes. Yes, but not. Not.
Wait.
Go ahead, Scott.
Yes, they could stay in the VEBA. They'll be put into an HMO or something like that. But if you want Blue Cross Blue Shield, I believe you have to pay extra for that. Even being retired.
I'm going to step in on there. In most cases at that age when all that happens, the recipient is already on their Social Security. So what happens then, instead of getting the amount that they would have got, they will get the amount the deceased person got, providing it was higher. So they will get that insurance, and they will get that person's VEBA, which is ever of the greater value. And that's how that works as a general rule. But I was told, Scott, if they're too young to receive the Social Security or they're not on Social Security at that given time, but then they do qualify in for a VEBA is that what you call that? Is it VEBA? No, not VEBA. COBRA. But as we all know, COBRA's expensive.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Needs to get with you can look up the benefit section of the contract on UAW.org and get with a benefits person. He could probably just call up to Detroit and talk to National Benefits, and they'd probably answer that question for him. Give him a little more specific, because like Jimmy's talking about, if you're 62 and a half, you're more than likely, you're going to have Medicaid is going to cover, and then whatever Medicaid don't cover, your insurance kicks in. A lot of people understand that. I think VEBA pays up front. VEBA pays on the backside. Medicare pays on the front side.
Yeah, right, 8%, 20% or something like that.
Right, which saves the VEBA even more money.
Right.
That's a good question, though.
Yeah, that was the question from last night. So I said, I have no idea. I know I'm paying for my wife when I die to get part of my pension, but I have no idea about health benefits. I have
right,
no idea.
Right.
So I thought I'd throw it out to you guys and find out.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm not seeing where Edward Robertson paid any restitution as of yet, nor am I seeing where Norwood has. I was hoping somebody would enlighten me and be able to prove me wrong, because I know they're supposed to have started January 1st of this year, was it? No, it was last year, so we had to wait till this year.
Right.
Hmm.
Right. I don't know. I'd like to see all these guys have to pay. And we'll go.
Yeah, they all deserve to go, but I guess they are going to sell Solidarity House downtown and stay out in Southfield. They pretty much are set firm on that from what I'm hearing down there. Now, that's a huge real estate value. Where the hell is all that going to go? They've already got rid of the boat. And I don't know if a lot of people, you guys don't know, the boathouse was right on the river, had underwater, covered access to the river. I mean, that was a smuggler's dream.
That slip that's underneath there that's covered, that's not a little slip either. That handles multiple boats.
Yeah, I've seen 260-footers in there in my time, and that was in the late 80s. There was 2 66-foot Hatteras in there, and those are not small boats.
Wow. Hey. The best for our UAW executives, right?
Yeah, that was before I knew, and boy, was I green behind the ears then, Scott. Jesus Christ.
Let me see. They added a floor to Solidarity House. It's got updated security. It's gated. It's prime real estate. It's on the river. It has where's the parking? Is the parking adjacent to it or added? No, not added.
It's underground. A lot of it's underground. And then another thing, they have the credit union and bank tied right there to it. I don't know, a lot of people may not be aware, but there was a $1 billion update to the windows of that building just so they could make sure. Everybody says, oh, bulletproof. It wasn't so much bulletproof. They wanted to make sure you couldn't point, take pictures, or hear through that glass.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Nobody had
Adrian,
too, right?
Adrian,
you're... Mr. Jokic was one paranoid man about people listening to him.
Hi, Adrian.
Hi, happy Valentine's Day.
Right back at you.
Thank you.
What do you think about them selling Solidarity House?
I don't think that should be done.
I agree.
I hadn't heard any more about that, so I was listening to you all speak on this. So was there something recently that came up?
I just got that thing saying one of the reps from down there was saying that they all voted, all the delegates or whoever, executive teams, have voiced their in Southfield. They feel safer in Southfield.
When you have an asset like that, and it's been around for, I can't recall what year it was that they went there. That seemed like that should be by member vote, not by these people that are in and out they make the decision on that. That belongs to the membership. It does not belong to the executive board. Same thing with Black Lake. I really have issues with that.
Here.
You know, I've read a lot of comments where members have said, oh, sell it. Well, you know, you're just one person that's saying sell it. I really think, like I say, I think that should be a vote throughout the membership because, number one, you've had so much corruption. You've stolen so many of the funds. What's your plans? You know, something is just, though, is not right because you're leasing or are you buying the building in Southfield?
Have you even been able to find out who owns it? Because I can't even find out who owns that building.
I really never looked into it. I know what the address is.
Barton Mello put the bid. The bids was released on July 24th of last year. The bids were due on September 17th. It says one bid package. Anticipated bids will be released 8/10/2020, bids due 8/28/2020. But I can't really find where, like you said, the amount of money or anything else.
That shouldn't be a secret to the membership. Because,
exactly,
as I said, that belongs to the membership. You know, it's to the point that the UAW, we understand that it is now a functioning corporation. Okay, it says organization, but actually they're acting as a functioning corporation. But you have many stakeholders in this. And, yeah, I know the Constitution says things we give them the right to act on our behalf. But you first have to bring it to us for you to be able to say that you're acting on our behalf. You know, it just... I don't know. Like I say, if they were trustworthy, I mean, we've had so many criminals conducting business for the UAW that, you know, now you've put us in a situation where there's just no trust there. And you could be a trustworthy person that's actually at the forefront there. But all of us, we just don't have that trust there.
All my friends at GM are saying they will never even vote on another contract that has a paragraph number or an article number and no writing behind it. They left with numbers there and no writing. All of a sudden it's getting inked. It's just appearing and they're saying, well, it was voted on. Yeah, this is so plainly bullshit, it's unreal. And then you say, well, allocated work. I mean, you're right. We don't have no trust no more. How can we have trust? You just made, 13 new felons, I believe it was? 11 at least. I think it's 13 now.
Oh, that's found, that pleaded guilty?
Correct.
16, I think. Yeah, we have a real big trust factor going on here. And I don't even know if one member, one vote is going to clear it up. Because there's some issues even in some of the different groups that are trying to position themselves to run for different positions. There's a trust factor even with them, whether they know it or not. And I know they're listening. And so I'm going to say it. It's a whole bunch of folks I don't trust.
Yep.
And, I mean, I listen to everybody. I listen to what they say. I watch what they do. And it's, And,
watch,
you know, it's sad.
Yeah, I mean, Christ, you told me to retire people. I retired and you had to get one last hurrah and you took the $65,000 incentive for me to retire. Thank you very much. Not only did this accident end my working career, but you put a hardship on me now. Thank you so much. You guys are truly a piece of shit that I think you really are, and that is SHIG.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Carrie just posted about the Free Press article about Gamble talking about the upcoming elections and anti-corruption efforts. And he said the UAW is very much alive.
Oh, yeah.
The building, the original Tall Dirty House, the original main part of the building was built in 1950. It has, I'm trying to see, I'm looking up actually some, a different site that's got it, but it's not really, here it is. Constructed, started in 1950. The construction ended in June of 1951. It's considered a low-rise building. Building status is existing. It's completed at the 8000 East Jefferson Avenue, Detroit, 9000,
right?
8000 East Jefferson Avenue.
I'm going to get
okay.
Carrie on right now. Carrie, join the conversation. Go ahead, Scotty.
Hi, Carrie. It says that it has, prior to the fire, including the ground floor and six additional floors comprising of 165,000 square feet of floor area. The original building's initial phase was constructed circa 1950, blah, 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 blah. The core of the shell, but not necessarily limited to the new building envelope, and approximately 9,040 square feet of addition, also included other HVAC, plumbing, electrical systems. I'd like to get more of a description of all the stuff they got. I remember somebody wrote that down, and it's big. And if I remember right, it's 14 floors, right?
Solidarity House?
Yeah.
No, it's not 14 floors.
No.
Mm-mm.
How many floors is there?
I think the Renaissance was 14, wasn't it?
Oh, no. Renaissance is not way more than that because I had to spend money to go up over the on the high speed.
Maybe that's what it was. They stopped me on the 14th floor.
You got to go. Go ahead.
Solidarity is not even 10 floors.
Okay. But didn't Jokic have a floor added, if I remember right?
He may have, but
yeah.
I'm looking, you know, just going through my head on it, and I'm thinking it may be 6 floors.
Right.
I know it's not 10.
Well, let me see here. Where is this looking from? This is looking from the water, it looks like.
Okay.
The back building has 3 floors. Well, I get back. 4 floors. Looks like an executive suite. One, two, 6 floors, it looks like, in a Solidarity house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought it was more than that. But I remember Danjan talking about Jokic spent the money and had another floor done so that they'd have an executive floor. But, you know, you're talking Jokic, you know, you're talking a long time ago, and the times were different.
Right.
You know, so it's a big building. That's all I know. It's a really big building. Said that. There's five floors above ground. And
right.
The building is 65 feet tall. So, but either way, it doesn't matter. But that's our house, not their house. Our dude paid for that.
I have a big problem with them making a decision or trying to make a decision to sell an asset of that sort and not at least have a vote from the membership.
Right. Right. I agree.
You would have some membership that would probably say, well, we want to move it out of Michigan.
Yeah.
What would they think about that? I mean, you moved the office to Southfield. That was supposed to be temporary.
Yep.
While the building was being repaired from however that fire started.
Yeah.
And
yep.
The last I know, that wasn't even completed yet. So
right.
You're going to sell the building without it being completely remodeled?
Right.
Adrian, I've been told the work's been stopped on that, on putting it back together. About September, pretty much all that's been stopped. They just quit working on it. Like I said, why would you do that other than they're trying to keep the value down? Then it's like, well, maybe they're doing it for an insurance job. How can we trust people with this type of mentality? People aren't even thinking about this. We want to sell our area. We're supposed to be where we're at down there. That's where our roots are. Are you going to keep letting all our roots? Come on, people, wake up.
Yeah, that's Oh boy.
Yeah. Can't make this stuff up, I tell you.
Right. There was something about that article. I want to bring that article up. Where,
I can't remember what the value was on that.
On that building?
It was a lot. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. That building is very, very valuable. I mean, just the amount of acreage.
Right.
Off of that waterfront.
Right.
That makes it. I would tell you that it could be more valuable than that GM, that UAW GM training center.
Well, maybe we'll get the money money back that everybody stole.
Yeah, and we're still in the hole.
Yeah, I'm gonna need you to piss in a cup now.
Yeah.
Well, you're smoking something better than what I'm smoking.
Yeah,
I'm trying to remember, I'd have to I could go look real quick, but I thought they said because they laid out that Barton Manilow that was working on it was also handling, like, the bids and stuff. And then I can't remember who the realtor was that was talking about that. And they put all that information out there, you know, the floors, the square footage, the underground parking, the boathouse out back. We'll call it a boathouse. It doesn't look like a boathouse, but the boathouse out back. I want to say it was like $126 million. I'm thinking it's worth more than that. That's just my thought.
Yeah. Yeah, that don't sound right. Maybe
yeah.
Without the completion of without them completing the repairs.
Oh yeah, because I mean, like you said, you got acreage. You've got all the amenities. You got the boathouse, and like you said, your prime location because you're right on the river.
Yeah.
It's gated.
Mm-hmm.
Windows have been updated. I mean, most updates have been done except for the two floors that got smoke damage, you know.
Oh, no. No. And it's been quite a while since I've been by there. But it wasn't just two floors that were gutted. Because, see, when I went by, you could see the lights hanging. You could tell that no work was done inside. It was just cleared, you know, like the walls and stuff were cleared out. But they had like lights hanging from the ceilings,
right?
And it was more than two floors.
How many years has it been since the fire?
Was that 19?
How many years is it? 19? It's been.
Yeah, wasn't that 19 July in 2019? Or was it July? Yeah, it was July 2. It wasn't right after the convention. 2018.
Yeah, I remember.
At the 18, because Dick was alive.
Okay, 2018 in July is when that fire occurred.
Right, because if I remember right, they were the two floors that had the most heavily damaged were the floors that they kept the records. Remember,
correct.
They were looking into this.
That's
how
correct.
Convenient that this fire, this travesty happened when the feds were coming in to find the hard copies of stuff.
That's correct.
Now, yeah.
And then the
yeah.
fire marshal gave some rinky-dink report, and he had to go back on it.
Yes.
It's listed for right now under commercial cafe and for lease, Solidarity UAW house, and it doesn't give a price. It says off for price, and it's 104,574 square feet of usable space. So they are trying to lease it, right, if I'm reading this correctly. And it's, wow, that's on a big piece of property, 10.24 acres. All, yeah, five acres of river frontage.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't get a price value on it, though. Nowhere am I seeing a price value. All that's being omitted. Tenant property owner occupied on a type of ownership general. Whatever the hell that
but
is.
But I'm sure we're still paying for the heat and the gas and the electricity and everything to keep that building running because... Other than that, I think the city of Detroit would probably fine them for a building that's
what was it,
not being used.
$30,000 a month phone bill alone for that. They got
right.
still got all the phones being routed out of that building. God only knows where, Southfield and everywhere else.
Right.
Well, did they get insurance money for it? They've obviously done some repairs, so they must have got some kind of insurance check.
I don't know about repairs, but they've stripped it, so, you know, they've been destroying the evidence. We know that.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was 2019, I believe. July 13th.
Yep.
Early in the morning.
Yeah,
so,
I think, if I'm not mistaken, that was a Saturday.
Yeah, because nobody was in the building except for a couple of select people.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can't talk about who the
strange
people are, but
right. Now there's been rumors, but you know that's what they are. Because if you
right
can't prove it, you can't prove it. But I found that to be strange, though. Saturday
yeah
morning.
You weren't the only one. Can't give to put the whole day in Friday, but they're going to come in on Saturday. Yeah. Uh huh. Blow some more
right
smoke up, man.
Yeah.
But this that article, the one that you were speaking about, when you get down towards the bottom of it, because I had a little problem. Where it said that Gamble pushed back against concerns.
Yeah.
That the way top leaders have been selected by delegates at the UAW convention is somehow problematic. I found that to be kind of funny because it is problematic.
Yes, it is very much problematic, and it's directed just like, you know, he said he was going to help us with Article 8. We know that, you know, yeah, he helped it, all right. He helps squash it, like everything they do when trying to get a move. And I was hoping this Matthew Snyder, whatever his name may be, would monitor this a little bit better, seeing how he's now in a law firm in Detroit. And, you know, pay attention, because homeboy, they ain't going to do the right thing. They think they're better than us. You don't think so? Why did they get a 31% raise and we can't even get a 4% raise for 4 years of a 4-year contract? Yeah, homie, we got a, what was it, a 4, a 3, a 4, a 3 or some shit. But they get 31%
every other year at that.
And exactly. A lot of people don't realize they get that every other year now.
Right. Get a bonus on the opposite years. Which you I can't see why anybody will vote to say, oh, I want a bonus. So and they take, what is that, 1.44% or whatever it is.
Yeah, you're
out.
Right.
The union gets that out of your bonus. It's like, no, give me a raise every year.
What gets me is nobody gets taxed at 1.44%. I don't care if you're the richest person in there working, you ain't getting taxed at that rate. But what it enables them to do is, they, like you just said, the union gets the biggest cut of that pie. They tell you you get it back at the end of the year. No, they want it because they get a bigger piece.
Yeah, well, that don't go into the general fund at 1.44%.
No, but I'm talking about that goes for your taxes, the way they tax it, but they get, the union gets their cut, it goes off of, they're not taxed, they don't pay taxes on their cut. You're paying the taxes on their money. That's what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in that article.
Uh-oh. Carrie?
Do we lose her?
About union elections.
We didn't hear you. You
well,
blinked
in that,
out there for.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
In towards the bottom of that too, it says Gamble predicted that the monitor would have a boring job. He also had a few words to share about union elections. Gamble pushed back against concerns that the way top leaders have been selected by delegates at the UAW convention is somehow problematic. The upcoming elections will give members the option of retaining that system or switching to direct elections. Options described as one member, one vote. Citing saying current systems allow for a long-term entrenched leadership group to avoid accountability. But
well,
towards the end, it says
he disagrees with the premise that there is something improper about the current system.
Yeah, but he's going to go ahead and Gamble said the union will educate the members on both options.
Mm-hmm. Well, when are they going to start that?
That's a good question.
They're not going to start until after they select a monitor? I mean, the convention is next year, 22.
Yeah, well, at the bottom it says how you quote, how you elect someone does not define whether they're going to be corrupt or not. Corruption begins in the heart, Gamble said. To say how we elect our leadership involves corruption in any way is just not true. It is simply a political reach and sometimes being perpetrated by people who see an opportunity here for a very bad situation.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute here. You know there is something wrong here with what you're, how this this process is.
Hold on for a minute. Adrian?
Yes?
I want to put you on screen for a second, so stay right there.
Can we keep talking? Hello?
I heard you, Scott.
Okay.
I heard you too.
All right.
Yeah.
He brings everybody back. I like what you read. I just had the same thing highlighted, that last paragraph. And all I gotta say is anybody who's been to a convention will be able to say that's a bold-faced lie. Anybody.
It's not Trump.
Got another 734 number. Let me get it up, Scotty.
Okay.
734, you're on?
Hey, guys, it's JJ.
Hey, JJ.
JJ.
Yeah, I agree with you, Scott. I haven't been to a constitutional convention, but did have the opportunity to speak with several members who have, and that there have been some members that have admitted to being brought into a room and basically threatened to vote a specific way or else. And so it is absolutely ludicrous for Mr. Gamble to say that there's no corruption going on. Well, you know, it's a lot easier to take a few hundred folks into a private room and say, hey, we need you to vote this way or else, versus 450,000. So I'm a strong supporter of the one man, one vote. And personally, for me, there's a lot of people that have their own agendas, but for me, I would much rather see anybody else but the administration caucus elected to see what they can do versus what we've been given over the last 30, 40 years from the administration caucus. So
anybody other than the Reuther caucus.
Right.
That's what we're talking about. You know, because he said,
yeah, absolutely.
In front of that paragraph that Kerry just read, you know, he did say the union will educate the members on both options, but he disagrees with the premise that there is something improper about the current system. well, gee, if the current system works so well, one, why did you guys get caught? And two, how many of you are going to prison for how many years? This would have went all the way back to Rapson and Jokic. I'm surprised they haven't swiped up King or Gettelfinger on this. Or maybe the statute of limitations has run out on that.
Possibly. But let's not forget, too, what Norwood Jewell's lawyer, Mike Manley, said, and that he was a victim of a corrupt culture. Well, in order to develop a corrupt culture, this is something that has to be taught
right.
over several years to develop a culture. You know, culture doesn't just happen. It is developed over time. And,
you're right. Manley said it was a generational
right,
thing.
Exactly. So, for Gamble to say he doesn't see how it was improper, but you've been hand selecting and grooming, allegedly, this corrupt culture for a long time. How can you not see anything wrong with that? This single party system has definitely failed us.
I'm going to bring back what Adrian said this last summer. I'll paraphrase it because I don't remember exactly how she said it, but it was our sentiment that we agree with her on that. Was the point is, this corruption has been going on for quite some time. You've been around the UAW for 38 years, and you never saw it, or if you did, and you didn't say nothing about it, that's where that's at.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I've been a UAW member for only just shy now, a couple months, 16 years, and I've seen it. So for somebody to be in the UAW that long and that involved on those levels to not see it really causes question of their character and their honesty, plain and simple.
When this whole thing started with Iacobelli and Norwood, I said it once, I'll say it again, and I'll stick to my guns. If one of them was guilty, they're all guilty.
Hear, hear.
All the way back to Holyfield with that one. That's where
right.
it started.
And,
you know?
Right. Right.
And at that Hayden Center.
You know, so
you got to remember, Scott, it was going on before that. It's just they didn't catch it in time. I mean, like the flight scenario out there. Hell, that was in the mid-80s, for God's sake. So they knew what was going on. They just didn't know how to get it. And like the old man said, he got in trouble for bitching about how they were just. He said billions went out the door for the NASCAR team. That's where Cal Rapson, that's how him and Grimes funneled all their money, was through the NASCAR thing. And he goes, man, did they really get a lot.
I bet. Well, we have a hard out at 8 o'clock tonight. I just want to make sure everybody understands that. So when the show just drops off at 8 o'clock, we know what's going on.
I know. Tom didn't pay it on time, right?
Adrian is helping somebody right now in the screen, in the green room. I'll put it that way. And so they're still
okay.
As long as they're going, I'll stay. I have to stay. Go ahead.
The good news is that Rory Gamble took on another job, too, with the Thaws in Detroit. So he's got one more job.
He's doing what?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead and explain that real quick.
Okay. That is a program. The best way, let me bring it up. It is, the mission of this is, it's the Heat and Warmth Fund, FAWS, is established in empowering Michigan families, keeping them healthy, safe, and warm. FAWS is a independent 501c3 nonprofit organization, distributes assistance to verbal Michigan residents through 39 agencies, partners, a series of annual mobile process events, etc. I put below, you know, what the mission statement is and all that. I kind of find it strange that it seems like, how do you have time to do anything with the UAW when you got your hands in so many bags here?
Another way to wash money, 501c3. Well, you can literally write
well,
a check
you.
To yourself.
Well, and then you got the VCAP. Well, here's my thing. If you're going to take donations from the community, because this is what they do. They take alleged donations, right? But where are those donations? Partnering with certain people. Is the UAW going to be partnered up with them for donations? For this organization?
Probably.
Well, you know, the UAW does, I mean, every day, every week, every month, every year, we do a lot of good charitable things. Especially through the locals, the local charities, the local work that the members do, they do a lot of good things. We as an organization do a lot of good things. But I understand where you're going because, you know, these all in the past, you know, our UAW top representatives have had a history of having these personal charitable 501Cs, right? And they have used it to benefit themselves mainly more so than people in need.
Correct.
And, or, you know, use it as additional income. Basically, when you run a charity, there's costs, expenses, and compensations that you're entitled to, right?
Right.
And I do think that I think that that is a bit of a conflict.
Well, part of the ethics protocol that was so important to through this whole thing, last fall.
Right.
Shouldn't part of their ethics protocol include that you cannot work for a nonprofit organization? If you're, you know what I'm saying? I mean, they had all those charities they were doing stuff with, and, you know, they had to be shut down in 2017. And now that investigation just wound up ending, and here we are back again with a nonprofit situation with the president of our UAW.
I don't know if it's go ahead.
But part of the ethical protocol should have been too that if you sit in one of those positions in the IEB, you shouldn't be playing around with no nonprofit.
Paul,
in my
on.
Opinion.
Greetings, you rabble roses.
What I find is weird.
Hello, Paul.
Is,
how you
hello,
doing
Paul.
There?
Hey, Paul.
I jumped on real late because tonight my wife and I having a romantic evening babysitting our granddaughter. So
there you go.
So we've been busy, but you know the thing about these charities are. Our top union officials, the more time they spend with CEOs, the more they act like CEOs. And that's what a CEO of a corporation does. They sit on the boards of about 10 other companies, and this is what the UAW people are doing. And I don't have a big problem with it. The problem I have is they're not doing their main job well. I don't know.
from what I know of the teachers union and the police union, they would not sit back and allow the 95% of their jobs to be outsourced or structured away like the UAW has done. You know, that's a big problem, is they're not doing their main job first. This other stuff is, you know, if they can make some money on the side and make it honestly, that's their business, but they're not doing an honest job of representing us.
Exactly.
You know, they don't act like a union. I mean, you know, you follow with the police and firefighters and the teachers union do when they try to outsource their jobs or pack more students into a classroom, there's a fight on their hands. But, you know, what's going on in the plant floor is ridiculous. You know, they literally let management run roughshod over people.
Right.
I mean, in essence, well, they've agreed with management that the problem is that the workforce doesn't work long enough, hard enough, and fast enough, and makes too much money. If they didn't believe that, they wouldn't agree to all these concessions.
Right. Well, we have 8 minutes left in tonight's show.
No, I agree.
Yeah,
well, it'd be longer. Depends on if she can help the young man. So.
Right. Oh, right. Yeah, I agree with you, Paul.
It's kind of interesting to see the stomach doctor things, man. That's caused a lot of people to be, you know, put on no work. What, there's three GM plants out now. Ford had to cut the production of the 150 down. I mean, this is going to get silly stupid if it isn't already there. Think about it.
What's that, Jim?
Q.
Go ahead, Scott, tell them about the semiconductor.
I heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah, the semiconductor, the chips. They're shutting, they shut down part of Slough, Mexico, part of Canada, and Kansas City. To make sure that Fort Wayne, Arlington, and Flint get their fair share of the semiconductors to keep things rolling smoothly. Ford's having some hard hits. Everybody's going to take a hard hit, and the CEOs went to the federal government and to the president, and they said, look, you need to tell the phone companies and all the other people that they'll have to wait. We get ours first. Yeah.
Adrian, go ahead. Hold on, Scotty. Are you done yet? But Scott, are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay, Adrian, you're a critic. This is important. Heads
you
up.
Know, some time ago, about last year, about October, or November, we started talking about these different Medicare, Medicaid Advantage programs. And Critic has a story to tell us. Critic, are you there?
Yes, I am. I have got here, not personal for me, it's somebody who I know who is a power of attorney for somebody who he looks out after, who foolishly signed somebody up for one of these plans. And I wanted to tell that for, I guess it's more for, you know, the younger retirees, that because I guess you guys are going to have some future issues with your retirement plan. And for anyone who... you may have a friend who's on Medicaid or any family or anything like that. Do not sign up for these things at all. I told this story last night on Donnie's other show, so he's aware of it. But basically what this is a scam. And I actually called in. I knew that it was a scam before, but I called in to ask certain details because most people don't know to ask the correct questions. And basically, and I'm going to try to be brief about it, but basically, the this friend of mine who is a power of attorney for this lady who looks out after his bear is in a long-term care facility, and she has Medicaid as her secondary insurance. She just sold her house because she's going to be a permanent resident. And for those of you who might know, when you're on Medicaid as your secondary insurance, especially when you are in a long-term care facility or qualified or skilled nursing or something, that they basically cover that expense for you. Social Security and Medicare does not, but Medicaid normally does. Well, if you have, typically I believe it's like over $2,000 in assets, you have to spend that down before Medicaid kicks in again and takes over your insurance. Well, now some of these plans are, you see what's his face, Joe Namath, who's advertising these things and stuff that, you can get all these benefits, there's a give back benefit, and extra $144 a month, and all the extras, like, extra dental and vision and all that kind of stuff. Well, when you're on Medicaid, and if your assets are spent down to $2,000 or less, typically, depending on the state or something, the state will pretty much cover your stay, except you have what's called a participation fee. And everyone has this, where you have to pay your part of, what your stay is. And basically, if you're just on Social Security, it's basically about 92% of your Social Security, if you have additional income, which you can have, but you can only have so much over that. They will typically pay it, but it's basically 92% of your income. So everybody has that. Well, when you sign up for these particular plans, the worst thing that you can be is if you're chronically ill or if you're in a long-term care facility, because what then happens is that when you sign up for it, what happens is that a lot of people don't even ask this question. You have to ask, is there any specific benefit that would benefit anyone who's in a long-term care facility? Well, they'll go on and tell you, well, depends on what your Medicaid and particularly what tier Medicaid that you're on, which they, tell you, oh, yeah, well, we, got this for drug prescription or something, or eye care, and they'll talk about the give back. Now, what I asked specifically was for the for long-term care. Now, the way that they explain this to me is basically that what they'll do is give you 60 days of coverage, but it's not consecutive 60 days. And what they indicated to me was that the first 20 days that there are, they call it deductible. There are no deductibles for anything like that. Now, they're looking at people that, may be in assisted living or something like that, short term or something, because some people are and they get out. But a lot of people are not. So they tell you, first 20 days is there is no deductible. After that 20 days, between 20 and 60 days, then there is the deductible. Deductible is, the plan that I looked at was $184 daily. Then after that 60 or 64th first day, then it goes back down to nothing. Then after that 100th day, then it does become a deductible. Now, the person that I dealt with didn't want to tell me specifically, or told me basically to refer to my Medicaid system. So, minimally, if you're dealing with that, they charge $184. Now, the thing about that is that this lady that my friend is dealing with, her Medicaid spend down starts this month because her house is sold at the end of last month. So basically, she's going to have to spend down her assets anyway. So she's not eligible for Medicaid until she spends down her assets. So basically, she's going to have to pay the premium to this Medicare Advantage plan, you know, out of her own pocket, which they claim is $66, and then copay that may be involved with it. But what they also don't tell you, and this is what the social worker indicated to me, the way that some of these plans are written, that if you are on a secondary plan, if that's your secondary insurance to Medicare, you may not be eligible to get back on Medicaid. And for a lot of people, Medicaid is their insurance or their payment form to be in these long-term assistance care. So they may not charge you your participation fee, but you're going to be using that to pay your to pay these so-called, they call them co-pays. So basically, you may end up getting kicked off and not be able to get back on Medicaid again. So basically, what will end up happening is that you'll be stuck without any kind of insurance. So more or less, you'll be kicked out of your long-term, now that's if you are on long-term care. But and if they do let you stay on the supplemental insurance, you'll be paying minimally at least $184 daily copay.
Wow.
So it's basically is a way for the insurance companies to scam people on Medicaid. And as far as the Medicaid give back or something, well, yeah, they can afford to give you $144 a month when they're making $184 a day. You know, and they can give you afford to give you these little freebies and stuff like that, but, you know, you got to make the copay to be able to do it. But when you're paying $184 daily, you know, yeah, they can afford to be generous, if you want to call it that. So
right.
What you have to be careful with, and especially if you are on Medicaid and you're on a long-term care assistance kind of program, you have to be careful about that. And then when you call those people, you have to ask them, you have to know what question to ask specifics about the program. Most of the time what will happen is they don't want to give you specifics. They'll tell you, refer to your Medicaid is, you know, what they offer. Because the lady that I dealt with fumbled around, and, you know, because I was very direct about what I asked her. So,
correct.
Essentially what you do is they will claim that they'll give you some coverage, but it's not consistent coverage. And then after the period is up, you know, they will kind of give you the hee-haw. They'll just kind of give you the runaround. And, you know, if you are now like with me, but I have a different type of insurance, so it's not Medicaid, it's high risk, and another organization pays for it, but I'm fine with that. But if you're somebody who has an asset that has to get spent down, you're already paying your own care until that asset runs out. But the kicker is that the deductible you have to pay, and that will they let you back on to Medicaid, which now in some cases they may not. Now, the good news is that in some cases, if you didn't know what you were getting into or if it's caught early enough, after you're signed up, you can get out of some of these plans. So, but you have to do it, you know, very early on. So, you know, I suspect for a lot of people, a lot of the older retirees, it might not affect so badly. But if you're a younger retiree or you get disabled for whatever reason and end up having to be on Medicaid, you need to look out for that. And, you know, if you have family members that are on Medicaid in this situation, and Medicare and Medicaid in this situation, you especially want to be careful about it. And I know you see a lot of these commercials that want to get you signed up for all of that. But you know, unless you're somebody who doesn't go to the doctor a lot and you're very healthy, more likely this is not going to help anybody. Basically, it's just a scam.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, I thank you, Critic, for coming on the show and, you know, telling us the story. I'm going to reiterate to anyone that's a UAW member, I don't know about other unions, but I'm going to speak about UAW.
Right.
If you are a retiree, and you are automatically put into the VEBA trust, do not sign up for any of those programs that you see on the TV, internet, radio. Call to your local or your region and ask to speak to a benefit rep. That's if you're in doubt. Call and speak to a benefit rep.
Yep.
You also,
yep,
on your health insurance card, it has all the numbers there that you can call.
Yep.
If you're on the VEBA Trust, it says VEBA Trust. Call the numbers on the card. Don't call any other numbers. And talk to them.
Yep.
Can't even believe Joan.
No, you can't believe Joe
Namath.
I heard you say some time ago, because with that particular insurance, you just mentioned the VEBA Trust, if you get hooked up into something else, it's possible that they'll kick you off of that.
Oh, they will kick you off the VEBA Trust. If you get hooked up in one of those programs, you automatically are kicked out of the VEBA Trust. And from what I understand, it is hard as hell to get you back in that VEBA Trust, because,
yep,
those other companies do not want to let you go. Now, they can get you out sometimes, but just don't take that chance.
Yeah, you have to do it early enough. You know, you have to be very early about it. But, yeah, that secondary advantage plan becomes your secondary insurance and not the VEBA Trust. So, and then you're stuck with all those high co-pays. All they want to talk about when you see those ads is to get back, you know, $144 and, you know, the so-called extra benefit like extra dental or vision or, you know, prescription care or whatever. But they don't tell you the high copay or deductible, or if you happen to be somebody that happens to wind up like a nursing home and needs long-term care, if you're going to the doctor's lot. So that's the kicker, the high deductible that you end up having to pay. And then it's only short-term that they provide. The one that I looked at was 60-day coverage, but it wasn't even consistent coverage.
Wow. Well, thank you. We appreciate you sharing that information with us. I don't think some people understand the ramifications of their decisions or the scam that they might be getting duped with. Oh, it's especially when you're in a later stage in your life, you don't need to see what little money you might have disappear very quickly.
Well, the thing that was the sad part about the story that I told you is that the person doesn't even realize that they've been signed up for it. Somebody else signed them up for it, and that person didn't understand the full ramifications for it. And, you know, they were talked into it because they were told that Medicaid would actually pay for their premiums, their monthly premiums. Well, in this particular case, they're not going to be, because they're, as of this month, they're not even on Medicaid, because they have to meet their spend down. So that person is going to have to pay their premiums, and plus the fact that jury pays a high participation fee anyway, because when you're on Medicaid, they basically take about anywhere from 90 to 92% of their monthly income, and she only gets a little more than $1,000 a month in Social Security, and then the rest that they don't take, that's considered their personal needs allowance. So basically, she has what she gets $70 a month for personal needs. So, you know, she's going to have to pay that on top of her premium.
Right, right. Wow. Well, I think we've come to the end of the show for the night, I think. We'll be back next Sunday at 7 o'clock. See what happens, see who keeps working. They're making more push for electric vehicles. So that doesn't do us well. So, anybody got anything to add, I guess, for tonight?
Just pay attention to what's going around you so we all know, because they're doing a little bit of different things all the way around. We need to stay focused and, like, stop touching. That car is going to hurt us. We need to watch that.
Right, right. Good words. Carrie, Adrian, Paul?
Yes. Yeah, watch out for the scammers. You got them coming at you all kinds of ways.
That's true.
Bottom line is, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
That is correct.
Yeah. This is true.
Statement. Good statement.
And for those
all
working, be safe.
Yes.
Yeah. I forgot.
Stay warm.
Yeah, and don't get too burdened with the snow. Adrian, you're going to get a little more snow than we are, so be careful.
Let's not even talk about that snow.
Okay.
It's so pretty out there. It's just beautiful out there. Yeah, they said something up to 6 inches of snow maybe coming.
I think I was just watching an update before the show. I think they're down by the Detroit area, they're expecting a little more than that now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think I think they're talking like the 6 to 10 range now.
Oh.
Wow.
Ain't that something?
Hell.
Hey, Melissa's going to get a lot more than that.
Oh, no. Hey, it's just a white thing.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, well.
Northern Ohio and Indiana is like, I guess, between a foot and 14 inches.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
oh,
it'll make going to work tomorrow morning interesting, that's for sure.
That's right.
This is next. It'll be 40 degrees.
I know. My brother-in-law, I talked to my brother-in-law today. He's in Texas. And he was saying, it's 14 degrees here. I told him, oh, you should be used to that. Cold should already be in your bones. You grew up in Michigan.
That's right.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
But as he said, but I ain't been there in years. It's like, I don't feel bad for you.
Right.
You've been having
right.
below zero at night here, you know.
Yep.
With the wind chill, but you know, hey, that's winter.
Yep. So I guess until next Sunday at 7 o'clock.
Okay, you guys be safe, and thank you for listening to the UAW Factory Whistle Show. And we'll see you next Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
Right here. Well, when you gotta go, you gotta go.